When's the last time Dave? Well, Dave Van Rock, he makes it on the radio once in a while, and he made it here this morning. And singing about the Gaslight, which was a nightclub in the Village. I don't know if I was ever there. I was in the Village. I was reminiscing with my wife. I don't know if this would still happen in the Village today, but as a Ute going to Greenwich Village, people would walk up to you and go, "Hey, man, you want to buy any weed?" And those were the days, huh? And you didn't dare, because who knew who was a cop and who would get put in jail for 40 years for that. But, boy, my, how times have changed. It's Saturday morning, though. It's hot and cold. Good morning again. The weeks just seem to be zipping on by. From the longest day of the year, the summer equinox, or summer solstice, excuse me, we've lost 2 hours of daylight. That doesn't seem right. But we're still here, and we're in the prime time of the year in the state of Maine, September, October. It gets no better than that. I tell you, that is, for me, perfection in weather. It's just, if we could just keep autumn all the time, I would quit all my complaining, at least about the weather. Anyway, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We got the text line 601-207-4478. So, you know, I peruse. I spend time preparing for the radio every Saturday morning and looking over the news to see what you may have missed. And I may have missed, but I find and wish to share with you. You know, the news, they talk about, the Stephen King movie is out again. That's good. You know, he just keeps cranking them out, which is fine. And Bangor's on the map, which is fine. But, I mean, everybody knows that's on all the, you know, the kids have it on the nightly news, on the local news. And that's not, it's kind of news. But here's some real news for you. Okay, it's something you sink your teeth into. Some guy in New Zealand got a notice from his employer that they needed to have him come in and talk about his role. And he read that to believe that he was going to be fired, because they also said you could bring a support person or dog or whatever with you. Well, that doesn't bode well if you're gainfully employed and they tell you to bring a support person. So this guy hires a support clown. And brings the clown in. He's going to get fired. He knows he's getting fired. And he did get fired. He brings a support clown in with him. And the clown is making balloon animals and stuff. I mean, you know, if you're going to go out, you go out in style. That's kind of cool. I like that. You know, if you're going to do it, you do it right. Speaking of which, I had a young woman contact me last week, had bought a Prius down in Mount Desert Island, that she was told needed a hybrid battery rebuild. And the car has sat since January, which is never good. It's not good for any car, but especially a Prius, because you got batteries, right? So she gets the car towed to me. All right. The car is out of gas. So even if we could start it, which we tried to start it, it wouldn't start for real. It would turn over, but it wouldn't start. 12-volt battery's dead. It's got a flat tire. So we manipulate the car around, and I dig into it. This was Monday, and it gets better. I get in the car and it is filthy. Now it's kind of dirty, but whoever owned this car rolled their own cigarettes. I don't know what it is about rolling your own cigarettes, but there was tobacco everywhere. I mean, everywhere. There's a layer of tobacco on all the carpets, on the floor, on the seats, the little cup holders. There's tobacco everywhere. Maybe it was pipe, but I mean, I don't know. I don't smoke. I don't roll my own. I know I actually had a car come in that belonged to somebody who rolled their own cigarettes, and there was tobacco everywhere. So I'm assuming that's what was going on. But anyway, so I'm messing with the, I say, well, you know, instead of, I scanned the car and it looks like out of 28 cells in the hybrid battery pack, there's 5 bad cells. I said, well, look, I've got this other pack over here that's been sitting. I think it's okay. I'll just throw that in. Let's see if we can get the car running. So I get, you know, $10 worth of gas, put in the gas tank, and swap the batteries, 12-volt and the hybrid, and car still won't start. And I'm still getting codes for the battery, so the hybrid battery. So finally, I'm going to pull the battery that I had sitting that I thought was okay. It turned out that had a cell that was weak. So I thought, well, I could pull that and rebuild it and replace the cell. Or I could take my customer's battery, which ultimately is what I was hired to do, and rebuild that. So I redid that, five cells. And really doing five cells is much different than doing one, a little bit more work, but not a lot. So then I had to balance the whole pack. The whole pack was totally out of kilter. So anyway, I do all this. I put it together, put the thing in, still won't start. I'm like, oh God, deliver me from this. I mean, this is just one of those, well, you know what, since it's January. With some guidance, I spoke to a mechanic friend, and I realized it as I was speaking with him that maybe there's some dirt in the mass airflow sensor or in the throttle body. So I removed the air cleaner and clean it, put it back together, and it starts right up, purrs like a kitten. I fixed the flat, which was a big, big stainless steel nail. It was just sticking out like a sore thumb. It was pretty obvious. So I said, well, we'll do that while we're at it. So we're not, you know, obviously it's not going to hold air for very long. So get air in the tire. And I ran it. I fixed it at night, and I didn't want to run it in the evening on the road just in case I did get stuck. But took it on, Wednesday. Had it running. I had it running Tuesday night. Wednesday, I take it out on the road. It was fine. But I can't take it. I can't take this dirt. And I got this car. This car has come back to life, 230,000 miles. I have brought it back to life. It is running, no codes, no nothing. I said, I have to vacuum it. I just have to spiff it up a little bit. I mean, it's just so nasty. So I took, I don't know, 20 minutes to vacuum it out. A young woman came in, picked up her car yesterday, and I said, well, I couldn't take it. I had to vacuum your car. And she says, oh, I was going to take pictures and send it to the guy I bought it from. Well, I think he knew the state that he left it in, but car was running good. So that was pleasant. You know, they don't always, and this was a frustrating one because it wasn't easy. It you know, usually you just rebuild the battery, the car works. And it was like, what's going on here? It just ain't wanted to be. And I thought I could smell some old gas, but the tank was empty. I thought, well, if there's any gas in there, it hadn't evaporated, can't be much, and maybe it diluted down enough. I put enough gas in, I thought. You know, well, maybe I didn't. Maybe I got to drain the tank now. I put gas in, and you know, went on and on, and you're kind of second-guessing everything. And then all of a sudden, boom, starts right up, and that was good. And all is right with the world, and for a fleeting moment, I felt good about myself. Well, I don't feel too good about having to take a break, but we got to do it. It's 8:16. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Don't go. No, oh my goodness. We have over an hour and a half to go. There's going to be a lot of fun. I think so. Okay, we're back. It's 8:21. It's hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. Good morning again. Going to be not a real sunny day, but it's it might rain a little bit, but it's autumn. So it's okay. I don't care. I just don't care. It's nice out. It's not hot. It's not snowing. We covered. we're in the Tom's happy place. Oh, no, not the studio necessarily, but out there in the world where the sun is shining and the clouds are clouding. Anyway, our phone number 1-800-966-1039, our text 601-207-4478. I got a text here. Hi, Bob. Who's Bob? I was, and this is this morning. Hi, Bob. No, Tom, I'm not Bob. Bob's somebody else. I was wondering if you knew any place surrounding the Bangor area where they might have used monitor heaters, LP natural gas versions. No, I don't. The nearest I know is my friend Alan at General Appliance sells Empire heaters, which do not need electricity and will operate in either LP or natural gas. But I don't know about any used ones. The best suggestion I would have would be to check Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, Uncle Henry's, all those you can check online and see what's available. I know there's some kicking around out there because I've seen them and I've ignored them. So there. Speaking of my friend Alan, I got home from work Thursday. My wife says, I have some domestic engineering issues I need to discuss with you. And my wife, being the person she is, doesn't try to throw much at me when I get home from work, because usually I'm kind of spent by the time I land. But so I know there's something must be semi-serious. And it turned out in our refrigerator, which is a freezer on the bottom, pull-out drawer kind of refrigerator, in the bottom of the compartment, there's ice. Now, I don't know how she spotted this, but she's always looking for things to clean and spotted this ice. So she's got the instructions out for the thing, and she said, we need to take the tray out, which is a rack type thing. It's open, you know, a wire mesh type thing. So I removed that with the frozen food still in it, and yeah, there's ice. It's about a quarter inch thick, and I make a fist and beat on it and remove all the ice. I struggled to get the tray back in. It didn't. I put it in and it fell right through to the floor. So after doing that once or twice, I got it in place and closed it up, and that's the end of it. So my wife also doesn't call me at work very often, and if she does, it usually is something significant. So she calls me yesterday. She says, you know this is important if I'm calling you. I'm like, uh-oh. Is the house on fire? Has something blown up? No. There's ice in the bottom of the freezer again. This is 12 hours later. So she says, there's more than there was yesterday, which turned out not to be true, but there was certainly ice there. So I called Alan at General Appliance, my go-to guy, and he called me back, and I told him. And my wife is thinking, well, you know, the refrigerator has failed, and maybe there's some wishful thinking there that she wants a new refrigerator. But I told Alan the symptoms. He says, you have a plugged drain. Okay, so you have to unplug the drain, and it might be frozen because it's backed up into the freezer. Okay, so he had a couple of suggestions as to how to deal with it, and I went home and opened the freezer and did not take the tray out. I just reached behind it, and I just got the ice out. There wasn't as much ice as the day before, so I'm inclined just to take the ice out because I got to shut the refrigerator off to basically thaw the frozen drain line, probably, to get it to drain, I think. I've got to look at it and see. I don't know where the drain line is in this thing. Maybe it's in the manual. But at least Alan knew and assured me and my dear wife that we don't need a new refrigerator, although technically I probably should have another refrigerator to shut the one we have off to do what I need to do. So we'll figure that out, though. It's going to be, whatever it is, it will be fun. And speaking of fun, I think I mentioned last week, I had made up the forms for our slab we're doing, which is 16 by 20. So I have two side pieces that are 20 feet long, and I've got one piece that's 16 feet wide. And they're covered with ice and water shield on the outside. And I needed to move them from my shop to where we're putting them in. And they're 20 feet long. So if I put them in the back of the pickup truck, they're going to stick out. I thought about it, and I went round and round a little bit. And what I did was not put it in a pickup truck. I put it in a Honda Element. I have a Honda Element that I use as a loaner. And if you fold down the front seat and you fold up the back seats, you have 10 feet inside the car. And it's a split hatch. There's a window on top and a piece down below, so it opens up. So if I leave the bottom part up, I got something to set the panels on. So this was a enterprise I took on Sunday. The catch is I was by myself, and forms that are made out of pressure-treated lumber that are 20 feet long with 2x4s are kind of heavy. They're actually quite heavy. So I got the 2 20-footers in and put the 16 on top, and I strapped the living daylights out of it. And I was prepared to go in the breakdown lane. I flagged it, and it was prepared to go in the breakdown lane. And I'm because it's after Labor Day, there was no traffic on Route 1. And it was Sunday morning I did this. There was no traffic. So I got them home and unloaded them, and there they have sat. I actually started working on placing them last night because I needed a level, I needed a square, I needed some other tools, of which I would bring one at a time because I would only remember one. I brought the level home, I think, Wednesday. I'm like, I need tape measure. I need a long tape measure. Oh, okay. I'll have to go back for that. And all the bits landed there last night. So I did about 20 minutes, and, you know, it's the weekend. I got a weekend now. So we'll have back at it. But let's go to the phones. We got some phone calls at 1-800-966-1039. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Hey, great music today.
Thanks.
And I call this season. No bugs, no snow, no nothing.
Yeah, you got it.
I have a septic line coming out of my house. A bit above grade. The previous owner had it mounded. Last year it froze. I'm going to dig it up today and tomorrow and wrap it with something. Any suggestions what I should wrap it with?
I'm not sure I would wrap it as much as I would take, if you're right at grade, maybe four inches of styrofoam over the most shallow area, and until you get down a ways, and then maybe go to 2 inches if you're down a couple of feet, maybe. And if you can get some dirt, ideally, if you get maybe 4 to 6 inches of dirt over the pipe before you put the foam on, and it would be nice to use a 4-foot-wide piece of foam and center it over the pipe, and that should help keep frost from penetrating underneath it.
So put the dirt on top, then the styrofoam on top.
Yeah, how far down is the pipe where it comes out of the building?
It's at the foundation level, about a foot up.
Oh, it's out of the ground.
Yeah, so they mounded it, and we had issues with it last year.
Okay. Yeah, so you just want to wrap it with some insulation then.
Like that roll of silver insulation or something.
Yeah. And when it was mounted, it froze as well.
Well, it had written runoff over the years, which we hadn't really noticed, and last year it caught up to itself.
Okay. There's a rubber foam insulation called Armaflex. It's kind of a spongy rubber that will weather well. You can actually paint it to protect it. And you can get it in sheets and wrap it around to get some thickness. I would do that. And then given the fact that it's a seasonal type thing, I would consider putting some hay over it.
Just, that's a good idea. Okay.
Yeah, maybe some... just to be safe, some plastic over the hay and some rocks to hold the plastic down, just to keep runoff from getting the hay wet, because if it's real wet, it's not going to be that protective.
All right, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay, good luck. Take care.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to take a break here. I've got some interesting... I have to amend a conversation we had about mold and mold... removal and prevention, because there has been a change in the universe. But we got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about it. It's hot and cold. All right, we're back. It's 8:38 on Hot and Cold Saturday morning. The Cleverleys in the background, Walk Like an Egyptian. Great bluegrass band. If you get a chance, look them up somewhere. Look them up on the YouTube. Look them up anywhere. The kids look up music on the internet these days. They're worth a look. And another place worth a look is General Appliance over on Center Street in Brewer. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, or they're on Center Street. You're open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. You know that. But if you're like me and you have the problem that I just discussed mere moments ago, a domestic, potential domestic crisis in the making because a major home appliance is acting up, not behaving the way it should, you dial that phone number, 989-4341, and you ask Alan to help you. And Alan will help you. It's that simple. No insurance required. You just call him up and ask him, and he'll tell you what's going on with the appliance, what part you need, or what you need to address to make the appliance function properly. 989-4341, General Appliance in Brewer. That's all you need to know. And let's see, my buddy Jim down in South Bristol. Good morning, Jim. He said there's a company in Canada called Heatline Industries that make very rugged copper-coated plastic heat tracer lines to keep water lines from freezing. They also have one for sewer pipes. And, you know, I think even a regular heat tape would not be a bad thing with some insulation on the pipe. And I wouldn't have it on all the time. I would have it on if I noticed there was an issue or if it was really arctic out. Maybe, you know, you run it for a day or two. Because what happens with, in the case of the caller, you've got a sewer line that basically is not vertical. It's grading down towards the septic tank. The water is not moving as rapidly as if it was going straight down the pipe. And if it's real cold, it's going to start to freeze at the bottom of the pipe where the water is going and build up ice over time. And if there was a faucet that's dripping, say, you know, and it doesn't have to be much of a drip, but over 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in a cold spell, that's going to freeze up and build up layers. And eventually, as the caller told us, you know, it froze up last winter. It is, you can fix it, and it may just be insulation is adequate. It would be cheap insurance to add heat tape to it and just plug it in if you thought you needed it. Or if you have a clean out there, what is more fun than opening up the clean out and looking down the sewer line? Huh? I tell you what. You're leading the life then, man. And but in this case, it's better than having the thing back up. That's even more fun because then you have to open it up, and if it's backed up, then there is what we would have to refer to in the industry, in the trades, as spewage. And spewage of sewage in your basement is never a good thing. That makes a good bumper sticker, I guess. Our phone number, 1-800-966-1039. Our text line is 601-207-4478. So I have to amend a recommendation I've given over the weeks. I went to Home Depot this morning. Specifically, I wrote it down and I forgot. I've made mental notes for about the past 3 weeks to get a bottle of Moldex. Moldex being the material I've told people to get if you have a mold problem. And they sell it at Home Depot. Well, I wanted to get a bottle of Moldex. I had some. I gave it to one of my kids. I don't know which kid, and I don't know where it is. And I have it. They may not even tell me. They may not even remember I gave it to them, but it's gone. And it lasted me forever. Well, I have some things I want to clean with it. I have some vinyl windows that have some black stuff growing on them, and I want to just do it with Moldex. So I went to Home Depot this morning with a piece. Here, it's right here. Okay, there it is right there. You hear that? That's radio for you, huh? My note, a little index card, first thing on the list, Moldex. And they ain't got it no more at Home Depot. There's no SKU space for it. There's nothing. I am very disappointed in Home Depot. Come on, guys. So what I did get, and we've been using it in cleaning cars, is Simple Green. And I'm going to give that a go and see how that does for cleaning, for cleaning mold in particular. Simple Green, we're always cleaning cars. Always looking for stuff that is good for cleaning, and I knew it was a good product, and we've been using it for about a month now and really like the results we get, especially if you're getting into, you know, coffee stains or some kind of something that somebody left in a car that we don't want to think too much about. It does a good job of cleaning. So I did pick up a gallon of Moldex of Simple Green, which I'm going to mix some up at work. I can't bring the whole bottle home because I need it at work, but a spray bottle of 1-to-1 dilution will be adequate and clean, I think, just about anything I can come up with. So we'll see how that plays out. But if you've headed to Home Depot to find Moldex, it ain't there. It may be in hardware stores. I know it's around. And if you Google it, you'll find the product. I'm embarrassed to say that it had been a little while. I'd seen it within the past year in the store. So apparently they decided they weren't selling enough of it, or some corporate stupid decision was made to not carry Moldex, which I think is a very valuable thing to have in houses that, and most houses have mold somewhere. So anyway. So let's see what else we got. The forms, go back to the forms for a minute. Setting down the forms and doing a couple of things. I've got, you know, an addition that's going to be 16 by 20 that we're building. And we need to do two things. We need to have it be parallel with the building we're building it to. And we also need to have the forms be square. And they need to be level. And the form is a foot tall. The slab we're going to pour is 4 inches. And we'll have a thickened edge that'll go down to the bottom of the form, 1 foot deep. And I think we're going to have an inch and a half of polyiso foam underneath the form, which is about an R10. And it's just a crawl space. It's not an actual floor that one is going to be treading on. So we do want to insulate it. And we're also going to have a vapor barrier on both sides of the foam because we're using polyiso. And then rebar. So I've got leftover stick rebar from when we did our building, so because I overbought, and we'll use some of that up and then put mesh in it, and hopefully do the pour in the next week or so. The other thing I've been monkeying around with is driveways. My driveway got really messed up in the process of doing our water line, and at work where we sell cars for a living and have a driveway with gravel in it and some soil, some gravel, we have to pave part of it at some point. But for the short term, I would like to have something reasonable to have the cars parked on. And I think what we're going to use is crusher dust. And crusher dust is very small, very fine material that once you put it down, it tends to lock up fairly well and hold its shape as soon as it compacts. And it's not expensive compared to most gravels that one might put in a driveway or crushed stone. So that's sort of the plan right now, is to get that crusher dust. Normally here in this area, at least, is crushed granite. So we'll see how that all plays out. I've been hunting for a supply as close as possible, so trucking is as little as possible, and I have found one source that I'm probably going to go with. And I'm probably just going to get a truck or two in either location just to get started and just keep getting crusher dust as time and money allows. And it, I think, will be quite presentable. We've had pretty good success. I've used it in the past. And it makes a nice finish, and it's not, you know, it's a nice gray finish. It's used for a lot of things besides driveways, but it's used as a substrate underneath pavers a lot of times because it's pretty easy to level out. And as I say, it does compact well. So that's sort of the plan. And, that seems the reason why I should have a tractor, don't you think? I don't think my wife shares the enthusiasm that I have for having a tractor with a loader on the front so we can spread this stuff around. But It seems to me, the older I get, the one missing link in my life as a man is not having a machine to dig holes and push dirt around. It's just, you know, maybe I'm just regressing back to my youth. You know, did you dug holes in your backyard, didn't you? Anyway, let's see. Over to line one we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Hello? Hello? You have to answer the phone. When you call me, you listen for me to speak to you, and we will talk on phone. It's very good. It helps. If you dial the number, 1-800-966-1039, there's only one reason to do that, is because you're calling into the radio show to speak, and then you speak. When you hear me go click, that's a good time. Text message here, Tom, can you talk on fluid film versus the new stuff for sale locally? Can't remember the name of the stuff. The new stuff is called wool wax, and I'm going to be using wool wax. I like fluid film. It works well. Wool wax appears to be basically a very similar product, except it doesn't smell like fluid film. And wool wax is available as black, in black. You can get clear, which is kind of an amber color, clear, like fluid film, or you can get the black stuff. I've got a gallon of black. I am very fearful of using it because I'm afraid I'm going to have black stuff all over every piece of clothing I own, and it probably won't wash out, but I'll find out because I've got a gallon of it to apply. Speaking of which, we did get the lift finished, and we actually lifted a car with it last week. And then I just started to do stuff with it yesterday again. I've been just running in circles all week with cars. we got a doggy car in this week. And, it was really doggy and a lot of dog hair. And we have been cleaning this for 2 days now, and we will continue to clean it. But it really, it takes a lot. My daughter Maria is getting really good at cleaning this stuff out. And I was helping her yesterday. And we have literally taken everything apart in this car that we could to clean it and detail it and make it look like new. So when we're done with it, it will be hard to tell. Tom, on your recommendation, I went a few years ago to Home Depot to buy mold. I couldn't find it. An employee showed me Concrobian mold control, which I bought. I don't know if this is good, but it did use it to clean mold. Well, I saw no mold stuff there other than, cleaning products like Simple Green, which supposedly work. The difference with probably similar to what you got. The Moldex is something you spray on the mold. You don't scrub it. You just spray it and leave it, and it kills everything, and is safe. It's not a it's not nuclear medicine that's going to kill the mold and you and your pets and poison the site for the next 20 years. So I'm just disappointed that it was not there, but I did see it, excuse me, within the past 6 months in Home Depot. So I'm a little chagrined that it's not there now. So let's see. What else there was one other thing, and it's just completely left me. I was talking about cleaning the, excuse me, the car. And when we left yesterday, we rolled the windows up because I wasn't sure if it was raining or not. And I noticed almost immediately all the windows, and this is a Camry, all the windows fogged right up. So we got to crank the windows today and let it dry out. This is this weather where it tends to be somewhat cool but dry is great for doing stuff like this. We were using a shampooer and scrubbing, and there's a technique with the gloves to get hair out, and it's starting to look like a regular car again, and it doesn't smell like a dog. And I love dogs, but you know, if you have a dog, you probably should clean your car once in a while. It's like if you roll your own cigarettes, and once you notice there's a layer covering everything inside your car of tobacco, It's time to get a vacuum cleaner out, or at least take the car mats out and shake them. You don't have to do too much, but that'll work. I got another message here. I was looking for a Concrobium last week. Did not find it with all the other cleaners, but in the paint section. Okay. That's good to know. I will look it up and see. As a matter of fact, I'll see if I can dig it up here online during the break because I'm not familiar with it. And like I say, Moldex I've used and I've had good success with. So I'm happy with that, and we will continue to use that. Let's see. What do we got? Ah, man, we got this. We got that. We got some music we got to queue up for the break here. And I shan't apologize for this, because at some point when I was a kid, I got into this musical kick. And I know it annoyed the neighbor. You know, you're a teenager or preteen, and you play music too loud and you annoy the neighbors. Okay? Well, this is what I played. And this may lose all my audience when I hit the tune here, but I just want to explain it was an evolutionary thing. And the man who did this actually did many wonderful things for music, aside from being a musician of his own import. Okay, here we go. Hang on to your hats, boys and girls. We'll be back in a bit. And I will say Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. All right, it's 9:07. It's hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. Good morning again. NRBQ in the background, one of the best American bands of all time, who never got the credit, absolutely the best band that never got the credit they deserve, although many folks know of them. They are the best. The America's Garage Band, I think they refer to themselves as. Anyway. Let's see. We're back. Phone number's 1-800-966-1039. We got the text line up and running, 601-207-4478. A couple of text messages have arrived in the studio. First one, have you looked at recycled pavement or reclaim for driveway? Not sure of price, but a lock up better than crusher dust. I have. It's more expensive, and I don't like the way it looks, and I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe it'll lock up better, but I'm going for a look. I'm not crazy about reclaim, either will make a good substrate for being paved if and when that time comes. I would prefer the crusher dust, just because I think it locks up better, given some time, and it looks better to me. But the reclaim I've looked at, as a matter of fact, my friend Mark put some down. Just he had me come over and look at it this week. Also, put down asphalt without a paving machine and did a pretty good job. You have to compact it, and it looked good. So he's tempting me with that. But right now, crusher dust is a cheap date in town, for me at least. So we're going to go with that, and we'll see how it works out. We got a text here. Tom, my aunt had the whipped cream album, and I absolutely love the music on there. I was just talking with Mike Dow about this during the break. The Whipped Cream album was the entry for many young boys who might have liked Herb Alpert, not because of the music as much as the album cover. You get that into the house because that's good music. Yeah, it's the music just stuck with me. It was. I wound up, I think, getting every Herb Alpert album there was up till a certain age. Let's see. We got another one here. Tom, is your car inventory online? Yes, it is. The website is. I will give it now. The website for our business is a very simple one. www.prius.store. Pete thinks we're going to get in trouble with Toyota. We got the website address. They could have had it. So there. Anyway, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. This text line is 601-207-4478. And, yeah. There's an agreement on the whipped cream cover. Oh, that was many years ago. Anyway, so it goes. And there was a story behind that. They interviewed Herb Alpert. So let me just digress while we have no phone calls for a moment. Herb Alpert, had this record company and was fooling around in the studio, made the album. I think the first album he did was called The Lonely Bull. I think. Yeah. And he did all the instruments himself. And it sold. So then he had to put a band together, but he had this record company, A&M Records. Alpert and Moss, Herb Alpert and Jerry Moss, started this record company. So they needed something, so he made up this album, The Tijuana Brass, which was Herb Alpert, this Jewish guy from California who was into, Mexican-type music or whatever you want to call it. It isn't quite Mexican, but anyway, he created this sound. And along with Julius Wechter, who called himself Sergio Mendez, Julius Wechter, another Jewish musician who was with A&M Records, and he was Sergio Mendez of Sergio Mendez and Brazil 66, and he did a lot of work with Herb Alpert on this stuff, and they were very prolific. And Herb brought many great artists to us, not the least of which was Joe Cocker. I think he signed Leon Russell, and it's a long list A&M Records had of great, great musicians that they developed for us. And I will develop a phone call right now by hitting that button and going right there. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi.
I feel a little bit guilty interfering with your Herb Alpert.
My Herb Alpert reminiscence.
Yeah.
That ship has sailed.
That's album covers. I grew up with that music,
yeah.
Too. And it was good stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have a serious question. Mm. I'm having a garage built. It's a detached garage.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already got the gravel brought in to put the pad on it.
Mm.
They haven't poured the cement. I was under the impression through various, because I've listened to your show for years,
mm.
and I was under the impression that insulation was important, whether it's a heated garage or not,
mm-hmm.
to keep it from disintegrating,
mm-hmm.
from heaving.
Right.
And my builder says it's not necessary. In fact, he said if it gets wet, it can get saturated, and that can create other problems.
Yeah. How do I say this delicately? No, that's not true.
What isn't true?
The insulation is going to saturate with water, and you've got gravel.
Okay.
If you got a gravel pad down there, let's assume worst case scenario, you're on a wet site. You haven't put any gravel down. You just scratched it level, and you're going to do the slab. If you put down,
that's why we put the gravel down.
Yeah, so
it's wet.
It's going to drain through the gravel. So if
yeah.
if there's water at the foam, you have a problem. In that
mm-hmm.
I think it's called a flood. And even then, being underwater, it's not going to saturate. It takes a while for foam to saturate, and where it's on a drain substrate. It will,
right.
It will not, even if it did saturate, it would dry out, but it's not going to do that. He just doesn't want to put
okay.
down the foam, which I understand, but.
I told him I'd pay for the extra, no problem.
Yeah.
And he's still trying to discourage me.
Yeah. I would do it. Just to allay a concern of his, a lot of contractors don't get what foam is all about, and they know if they put it down, it's going to separate a little bit. It doesn't stay right mm-hmm. together. It's going to crack if they walk on it. None of that matters. The fact it's
okay.
there, if there's holes here or there, it's not a big deal. Put it down, and you pay for it. And it takes him 20 minutes to put down the foam and before he puts down the rebar. And
right.
and you're done. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
And it's not going to affect anything structural either. So, and if he okay. wants to cheat at the edge, if he's thickening the edge and doesn't want to put quite as, it gets a little trickier at the edge. It doesn't have to be complete coverage, but it
okay.
it
doesn't have to go clear to the edge of the frame.
It ideally it should be, but you can It doesn't have to fit perfectly. Anything's better than nothing.
Okay. So what is the benefit of having the insulation so that I can speak intelligently about this when we discuss it? I told him I was going to talk with my expert.
Oh, okay. Well, when we find him, we'll ask. But in the meantime, I'll answer. The couple of things. One is it does keep frost from getting underneath the slab. It helps keep it, in theory, he's right in that if you put a building over it, it probably will never heave. But where it is a wet site and maybe you have a foot or two of gravel there, it's prudent.
The septic is right behind it.
Okay.
And it's elevated above the level of the slab.
Okay. And that's okay. It's a protection. It will keep the garage a little bit warmer. Likewise, if you ever decide to heat the garage, you insulate the rest of it and heat it. The floor will maintain a little bit better temperature. So it's prudent to do, and it primarily protects the slab from any kind of frost action. In theory, it could happen. It's a belt and suspenders approach.
I understood that to be the reason is, even if you're not heating it, in case you ever do, it's always good to be prepared and have that insulation
there. That's
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I love being called right. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. All right.
Tom, thanks so much.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Okay. Now, Tom up in Sangerville, Tom, you're getting to me here. You sent this to me last week too. What time will Pete be on? I don't know. It'll be in this hour sometime. It's my radio show. I call when he calls in whenever he can. We do have customers coming in, and there actually might be somebody in this morning picking up a car. So if that's the case, we might not even get him, but I'll try to hunt him down here in a minute. See what we can do. Check their website. Wool wax is better for a number of reasons besides smell. Yes, I know that, but the smell is the big one in my book. I would, the wool wax supposedly has better rust preventative aspects to it, but I don't think, I think the big workable factor here is the fact that the lanolin, which is the active ingredient in both these products, gets into rust and displaces water, and that's the important thing. The fact it doesn't smell, for me, is number two on the list of important things and is the deciding factor, even though it's a shade bit more expensive. I don't care about that. I've got customers I'm doing cars for. I don't want to have to explain, gee, I just made your car stink. It's a joke there somewhere. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hello. My name is Peter, and I have two concrete slabs.
Mm-hmm.
One insulated underneath it and one not.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference I see is that in the summertime, in the humid weather, the one that doesn't have insulation underneath it sweats.
That's right.
Or the one that has insulation under it has never sweated.
Yep. Good point.
So that is one great reason I'm glad I put insulation underneath.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I completely zoned out on that one, but the shop we used to be in was not an older building, not an insulated slab, and it would flash over wet in moments as soon as the humidity raised, in the summertime when we have the doors open. It'd be slick as all get out. So that's a great reason. Thank you, Peter.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Take care now.
Good day to you.
You too.
Good
Bye-bye.
Show.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And we got to take a break. It is 9:19. Let's see. We're going to go right there. We're going to hit that one because I like it. We'll be right back. It's hot and cold. Don't go anywhere. There we go. We're back. It's 9:23 and hot and cold. Good morning again. Let's turn that down. That's the Steely Dan segment of the show. Dan and Mama says, Tom, tell the lady with the slab I said get a different contractor. Well, contractors... they could be a good builder. It just doesn't... They don't know enough about insulation, it's kind of a nerdy thing, I guess. That's why I guess I have dealt with it all these years. But that is a really good point. I really appreciate the fact the caller mentioned that, because the physical separation of the concrete slab from the substrate, even though it's gravel and it's potentially well drained, it does two things. It's a thick vapor barrier, but it's also decoupling for heat or for cold. And in the summertime, if it gets humid, that cool substrate will condense. And that means it could grow mold. It could just be something as simple as being slippery. So good point. I really appreciate it. You know, and when I do this, I do a vapor barrier with the foam. The foam itself is especially for a garage, is more than adequate, though. Well, let's see. Adding a new dining room to the exterior of the house above a new concrete slab with a 3-foot crawl space. Suggest a method for insulating the dining room floor. Is it necessary to insulate the crawl space perimeter? That's very similar to what I'm going to be doing. I'm insulating underneath the slab just because it's what I do. I'm also insulating the perimeter wall, which will be a pressure-treated wall. Pressure-treated 2x4s and plywood on the outside. And I'm going to cut and fit foam into there. And I don't know if I'm going to put something over the face of that as well. It depends. But at least for starters, we'll cut and fit into the cavity. I don't think I'm going to be insulating under the floor. The perimeter is more important at this point because that's, if you stop and think about it, the perimeter is your interface between the inside and the outside. Even though that crawl space is not a heated or conditioned space, it's in contact with the living space above, which is heated, and maybe adjacent to a basement that's also heated, so we want that to be relatively well insulated. And it's not a big deal to cut and fit foam into that cavity or to fiberglass the cavity and put a layer of foam over the inside, a solid layer of, say, 1.5 inches foam on the inside. That would work as well. It'd be quicker. So hope that helps. Let's see. Over to line one we go, and there's that. And good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yes, good morning, Tom. Frank from Norwich Walk.
Hi.
Question, I'm underneath my house. The main part of the house is 24 by 24 with a 4-foot frost wall.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a floor poured in there, so it's pretty wet in the spring, sand. So I'm doing some structural work. But when I'm done, I want to put foam up on the floor joist.
Mm-hmm.
The plumbing that comes down below the floor joist is confined to about 25% of that. It's all in one area. Should I build a drop down to insulate, to make it easier to insulate that, and then make some ways that I can get to the traps, or should I just try to cut and fit around all of that? What, you have any ideas on that?
That's a good question. I guess I'd be inclined to do a drop down that would allow it to remain in what I call the heated envelope, which would be the area above that, which would be heated. So there is some heat that gets down into it. Is the perimeter insulated now? The crawl space perimeter, do you have that insulated?
The perimeter is not. No, it's just a 4-foot frost wall. I'm actually replacing the main beam going down it. When the house was built, they didn't use pressure treated, and it's rotted. So I'm, laminating pressure treated board.
Sure, but you never had a freeze up issue.
Oh,
or have you?
I haven't. Not really.
Okay, so
I have once when I didn't use that, when I was just temporarily up there. But now that I'm, I'm there full time, I haven't had any problems.
So I would say that if it's not a big nightmare to, drop something down that you could enclose and have access to, maybe an access door where your cleanouts are, and keep that as close to the thermal envelope of the building as possible, I think you're in good shape.
Sure.
That's what I would be doing.
Yes. Great show. I love it when you play NRBQ. I grew up in Eastern Connecticut. I don't know how many times I saw them live.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely the best live band I ever saw. We used to see them at a place called the Shabu Inn.
Yeah.
I think it was an old chicken coop or something. They converted into a place to see music. And you know, Al Anderson and the boys, just incredible.
Yeah, there's something else, that's for sure.
And Al is still out there.
He is. Matter of fact, Mike Dow had just done an article about them last week, I think, in the Edge magazine, because they came out with a new album, I believe.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have to look into it.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, I'm fascinated by mobile homes, double wides, these buildings where all that stuff is underneath and usually doesn't freeze. I'm sure I know it does from time to time, but you've got a chase of some form that allows you to bring the water line up and the septic line out, and those areas usually don't freeze. They do. I know they do. But all things considered, the simple approach of having it on posts with some modest amount of insulation and protection, we don't have this rampant large quantity of freeze failures. I'm fascinated by that. Anyway, Tom. I got another one here from Tom about Pete. Okay, it's your show, but you do have the address of the Pete Fan Club, right? Yeah, do I have the address? I will get it for you. I think Pete is the president. He's the president of his own fan club. we got to take another break here. It is 8:30 straight. It's 9:30. Oh, man. That first hour just went, didn't it? It's 9:30. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hey, we're back. It's 8:30. It's 9:36. I keep losing an hour, and it's not even time to change the clocks yet. It's hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. Good morning. I'm Tom. The phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. Mr. Peterson in the background. The Samba de Orfu. Yeah, a little bit of samba. Everybody should have some samba on Saturday mornings, and that's, you know, that's what I get paid for, is the samba. You didn't know that. You know, you thought it was the Herb Alpert. It's not the Herb Alpert. It's the samba. Anyway, let's see. We got a couple of texts here to deal with. Let's see. My garage is 2x4 walls. Want to heat it a little. What is the best way to insulate the walls? And can I somehow block off the ridge vent from inside so the heat does not escape? Or do I have to put a temporary ceiling somehow? Well, you know, if you insulate the walls and not the roof, you're kind of not going to have that much benefit, because although the claim is made that, you know, you got to insulate the roof more, all these surfaces are kind of equal in terms of heat loss. Now, what happens is, and you kind of alluded to it here, if the vents are there, it's just going to blow right out, whereas it'll tend to build up temperature to some degree and drop down. But if you just insulate the walls, don't insulate the roof, you're not going to be very happy or comfortable, even if you block off the vents. So, a temporary ceiling of some form would be a benefit. And some insulation wouldn't hurt either. And maybe the simplest way to do this would be to get maybe 1.5 inch foam, 2-inch foam, and screw it up to the bottom of the floor joist for the second floor, if there's a second floor, or put it on the top side and just lay it down. You don't even have to screw it in place. butt the sheets together. If you want to do it right, you could tape them. Then you can have a reasonable effect in terms of heating the building. You don't have to worry about blocking off the vents overhead, and insulate your walls, and you'll be pretty comfortable. Let's see. And going through the messages here, Tom Papa Bear says, Yahoo for the shop. But we do open some strange doors in this show. Spent many hazy nights there. Taj Mahal was house band. Wow. Well, that's something, Tom. Got any of that music? Yeah, of course I do. I don't play enough Taj Mahal, to be honest with you, but I will do that. And I'm just looking at the Concrobium. I'm pronouncing that right. Okay. Yeah. That looks very, I wonder if they repackaged Moldex as Concrobium. That could be, 'cause it looks very similar. and it is available at Home Depot in the paint aisle. Wish I knew that this morning, but obviously you would, if you've got surface mold, you would do that before you paint. You don't necessarily just want to paint over mold. You want to mitigate it ahead of time. Let's go back to the phones at 1-800-966-1039. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yes, Tom. I have two crazy questions for you.
Okay.
First off, do you know, like, per se, what the ground water level would be? I know last fall we had a drought, and now everybody's saying that we've so much rain and everything all through the summer. Does that affect the actual table underneath us?
And then
second crazy question for you. Everybody's claiming that the full moon was yesterday on the 13th, when the Farmer's Almanac, the Bangor Daily, they say it's tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on those ones?
Okay. The groundwater thing is, I think it's relative to where, to a location. I'll give you a good example. I have a the property I have where we have our car business. Apparently, there was an old gravel pit there at one time. And we dug into that to take some gravel for when we set up to do our building. And they went down, gosh, at least 10 feet, more than 10 feet, I'm sure. It started to get wet. This was in October of last year. It was starting to get wet in that area. So that he stopped digging any further. Maybe we were 12 feet down. All winter, that was full of water. It filled right up and stayed full. And then all summer, it has dropped down again. Now, granted, this is exposed, but I think the groundwater table, level is site specific. In my case, I know there's a hard pan down there that it affects it. And I think the ground generally is more saturated with moisture, which is different than groundwater. But the it's kind of related. So what happens at some point is if we get a lot of rain and the groundwater level is coming up and then we continue to get rain, everything saturates. At some point, it tends to run off and not be absorbed by the ground, which is, the root of flooding issues that can be more significant. And this happens in springtime when the ground is frozen. The groundwater can't percolate down through, so it tends to run off at the surface. I don't pay that much attention to groundwater levels just because it doesn't affect me. I'm not digging holes in the ground, although I should be, by Godfrey. The other one, I completely lost the other question in talking about groundwater. Oh, the full moon. I'd go by the Farmer's Almanac in the Bangor Daily. If they're both in agreement, I would say today's the day for the full moon. I'm just wondering why you need to know that. What you got going on? Yesterday was Friday the 13th, so that maybe would have been really bad to have full moon on Friday the 13th. That could have just been trouble. So we dodged that one at least. Let's go back to the phones over on line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I just bought essentially a camp that's sitting on an area that's basically salt water. It's tidal, so the water comes up to the camp. And when I say comes up to it, I mean literally touches it, on certain tides.
Yeah.
Before I bought it, I went underneath in one quarter of the foundation. It's on pillars. It's on, a quarter of it on ledge and the other three quarters is on pillars.
Yeah.
And I went under there, and this thing was built in the mid to late 1800s. And the beams under there, they're the true 2x4s and 2x6s, and all the lumber under there looks like it was just installed. I mean, it's in perfect shape.
Mm.
So it doesn't have any plumbing, and I'm getting ready to do that, and I'm going to insulate it. And I'm thinking about closing that one wall up, but I don't know what, I don't want to mess with the environment under there. I mean, it's done well. For this long,
yeah.
I don't want to create a situation where I'm going to trap moisture in there,
yeah.
And start to. I mean, do you have any explanation why it's in such tremendous shape? I mean, being that, being exposed to the water as long as it has been?
Well, it may be that the fact that salt water or brackish water is a little bit less of an issue, and it's not always submerged, so maybe critters are not taking hold.
I guess
I agree to some level that it's best not to mess with something that's working. So the way I would deal with this, and it may not be workable for you, would be to insulate on the room side. You know, put a layer of foam down and a new floor over top, and lose maybe 2.5 inches or so, maybe 3 inches, just to give you some insulation. And that doesn't necessarily give you a place for plumbing, but I would recommend in this case not having plumbing underneath the building anyway. I'd have it inside the heated space, and even if it's exposed, it's at least it's less likely to freeze on you, and maybe easier to drain if and when that need came.
I mean, eventually I'll have to get out to the septic, though. So I mean, I'll have to.
Well, that line has to go underneath. I mean, but that's not a always wet, and that I would insulate. And maybe use even a heat tape on the pipe just in case it starts to fetch on you. But I would insulate the pipe, as we discussed, I guess, first hour, with something like Armaflex, you know, some thick rubber insulation that, and I'd want at least an inch on that. More is better. I would also consider the fact that it may be at some point in the future you might have to elevate the building a bit. I mean, you're grandfathered for the location. I don't think that grandfather effect would be an issue if you're just lifting the building up, because if the tides are getting higher, that is apt to be an effect that you might have to contend with at some point in the future. But I agree, if it's okay underneath, I would probably leave it the way it is and try to do something inside the room.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's a little tricky. I've done that where I've had crawl spaces where it was wood framed, framing was in good shape, and we went on the room side to insulate, excuse me, to keep it comfortable. I've also had buildings I've been in where there was a crawl space that was closed in, and their moisture tended to trap and cause a lot of rot. And in a case like that, if it's closed in and you got moisture issues, at very least you could cover the ground, if it's relatively flat, with a good vapor barrier. And that's a heavy vapor barrier. It's not 6 mil or 10 mil poly. It's something that is a reinforced, heavy-duty vapor barrier that you can seal. And it may be that you hire a basement company or a company that deals with crawl spaces to seal it properly, because it's very critical to have the right material for that. The other way to mitigate the problem of moisture would be to spray foam it and encapsulate everything. I'm not sure I would do that in this case. It's hard to say without looking at it. I'd want to see it. I'll take his word for it that it is as good as it sounds. But if there was an issue, any hint of a moisture issue, I would be inclined to, on a dry time of year, to spray foam and encapsulate all the structure. And that should protect it, as well as give you some insulation underneath the floor. So over to line one we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning. I just spent about 10 minutes trying to text you guys, and I lost it because I had the wrong number in here. But what I want to tell you is, just tell us, Tom. I went into the Home Depot website. They do have the Moldex mold killer, and it's model number 5520 for the gallon. And won't be available in the store, but it's available for pickup. So you have to go online.
Okay, so you can order it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I'm sorry I couldn't text you that, but
that's okay. We got it.
There we go.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've done, and you know, it's interesting. If you go on, it sometimes is worthwhile, especially if you're buying a lot of stuff, whatever the stuff might be. I've done it with, we use CPVC plastic for to make, I'll call it a cage to hold the heat exchangers we manufacture. And I'll shop those fittings, and I shop them hard, and I wound up on the Home Depot website finding that I could buy them in bulk for less than anywhere else. And I was kind of surprised and impressed and pleased, and had them mailed to me. They ship them to me for free. I also had stuff shipped to the store that sometimes if I'm buying, I think I was buying glazing for solar collectors. We only needed a couple of pieces, and it was cheaper to get it through Home Depot than it was through the company that I am a distributor for. If I'm buying in quantity, it makes sense for me to buy in quantity and have it shipped to me in a crate. But if it's like three pieces, two pieces, something like that, it's easier and cheaper per piece to get it shipped to the store, even though I'm paying more per sheet than I would if I was buying in quantity. Obviously, you can't always buy in quantity, and I don't necessarily want to have stuff sitting around. I have enough stuff sitting around. So I am going to check out this material, though, that is in the paint aisle, the mold mitigation, concrobium. I'm going to get used to saying that at some point. Good morning. You're on The Voice of Maine.
Yeah, Tom. Hi.
Hi.
I've had great luck with the mold, with bleach, with not sure what the ratio of water was, but no problem. I get a gallon of bleach at Walmart for a buck.
Yeah. Yeah, the issue with bleach is it is nasty to deal with, and chlorine isn't the healthiest stuff in the world. These materials tend to be pretty benign, and there usually is no scrubbing involved. You just put it on and leave it, and it kind of stays as a prophylaxis to prevent the mold from recurring. So that is the other option, but bleach certainly does work. The guy doing the garage wants to ask a recommended way to insulate garage wall with most R value. That would be with foam, to cut and fit foam insulation into the wall cavity. If you have a 2x4 wall and you put fiberglass in, a high density fiberglass or high performance or rock wall or something like that is going to be around R13. That 3.5 inches with foam is going to be more like R19. So you get more insulation in there. The other way to deal with this would be to put, I would use a higher density material like rock wool or high density fiberglass and a layer of foam over the inside face, which would give you comparable, if not higher R value, and would probably be tighter. If you haven't sided the building, you could put it outside underneath the siding or in between the sheathing and the siding. And that's an area that we've been dealing with in planning the structure is we're going to build it with 2x4s, and we're going to sheathe it with OSB. But I think we're going to wind up with 1.5 inches foam on the outside, which starts me right out with around R11, R10 and a half, 11, something like that. And then I can cut and fit foam inside the cavity, which would be another R19. So we wind up with an R30 wall. I may go a little stronger. It depends where I'm at in terms of finance and the rest. But the big concern will be if you put foam in between a stud and the sheathing. The sheathing gives the building racking resistance, so it doesn't move when there's high wind or storm or something or heavy weights on the roof. It doesn't rack, tilt from side to side, just because the sheathing is right up against the stud. It's nailed or it's screwed in place, and it's very rigid. If you put foam in between, you now have a long fastener. The length of the foam has to go through the sheathing, through the foam into the wood, and the potential is there that it teeters back and forth on those fasteners. I don't think it happens, but probably what we would do is use some metal strapping for racking resistance in the corners of the building before the insulation goes up, and that'd just be a cross brace, diagonal braces. And what that's going to do is once the building is put together, that's fastened to all the studs that intersects with, and keeps the building from racking. And then the additional racking resistance, even though we've got long fasteners, I don't think there's any racking issue at all, but it has to be kind of a belt and suspenders where we're dealing with that kind of issue. I will apologize at 9:55 for the fact Pete was not on today. We did have a customer coming in this morning to pick up a vehicle, I believe. So I'm assuming that's what's going on, is he's making somebody happy with the car of their dreams. Right there. And you can look up at www.prius.store if you are so inclined on Saturday mornings to see what fine representation of American and international automobiling we have. And Francis will sing us out this week. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Have a good one.